This morning, as I was thinking about today's feast day, there was another famous Christian mother who came to mind and a bit of advice that she got when she was in a difficult stretch in her life. And the saint is Saint Monica. She lived in the 4th century. She was married to a Roman pagan named Patricius, and they lived in northern Africa in what's now Algeria. Patricius was a bit of a difficult person to be married with, to be around, you might say, to be a little bit violent. And Monica had prayed for many years that he would be baptized and become a Christian. And this finally happened in the last year of Patricius' life. He embraced the faith, but for a number of years, he not only resisted being baptized, but he wouldn't let the 3 children that he had with Monica be baptized either. When Patricius died, the children were still very young, and the oldest was Augustine, now famous in the life of the church. So Monica had prayed that they would all be baptized once Patricius dies, and the youngest 2 were. Eventually, they entered into religious life. But the first, the oldest child, was a bit unruly, Augustine. He resisted being baptized. He's enormously gifted, but we would say, in a sense, a wayward person throughout much of his early life, a bit ill at ease, a bit uncertain, a bit adrift in a way. So Monica goes to a bishop in northern Africa to plead her case, to ask for help, perspective when it comes to her eldest son. And the bishop gives her some advice. And he ends by saying what's now a famous expression, "It cannot be that the child of so many tears should perish." Speaking of Augustine to Monica, "It cannot be that the child of so many tears would perish." It's a beautiful piece of advice and ultimately prophetic. Around the age of 30, Augustine is baptized. A few years later, he becomes a bishop in northern Africa. He goes on to become one of the greatest theologians in the life of the church, one of the greatest minds in a real way in the history of humanity. It cannot be that the child of so many tears would perish. Today, as we think of Mary in today's second chapter of Luke's gospel, we see in a sense that perhaps Mary might not identify with Monica when it comes to having a wayward son. We don't have any indication that Christ went through a profoundly rebellious stage in any sense. Nevertheless, certainly Mary would have understood the great care and concern that Monica invested in all of her children, especially, in a sense, in Augustine. There's a way in which, for good mothers, that the work is never quite complete in this life. A mother's job, a mother's work is ongoing. Doesn't end ever in this life. And there's a beautiful expression in today's gospel from Luke chapter 2 that speaks to this. Today's gospel of the Nativity is one of 2 instances in which Luke relates that Mary kept all these events within her heart, pondering them. It's a beautiful expression that Luke uses. What does this look like? That Mary keeps the mysteries of Christ's life in her heart. She savors them. She meditates upon them. I don't think it looks like idle worry about Christ's life. This is a great temptation for all of us. Idle worry. When I had my first funeral here at the cathedral, I hadn't been here very long, and there was a priest who came to concelebrate from a neighboring diocese. I hadn't seen him in a number of years. He was an older gentleman. And I remember talking to him outside of the vesting room before the funeral started, and I asked him for advice. What would you advise? Somebody's coming a new pastor. And he had advice immediately. He laughed and he said, "Don't worry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but you don't go anywhere." It was a really good insight. What a great image. Don't worry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy. You're active in a sense, but you're not going anywhere, not accomplishing anything. It's a good insight, and I think it speaks to Mary's life. Mary, when it comes to her son, doesn't experience idle worry. What's the alternative then to idle worry for someone? It's good that we care for people, but if we're going to keep them in our heart, it shouldn't be in a sense of idleness. It should be in a sense of prayerful trust that we're commending a person's life to God. This is what it means in a sense to keep someone in your heart, to commend them prayerfully in trust to God. So it is with Mary. So it should be with us. We begin a new year today. here's a piece of advice that comes from Monica's son, Augustine. And it has to do with time, how we experience it, how we relate to it. Augustine said, when it comes to time, the past belongs to God's mercy, the future to God's providence, and the present to God's love. It's a wonderful way to express how we experience time. The past belongs to God's mercy. This is something we could say about 2019. It belongs to God's mercy. What can we do to go back and change what lies behind us? Nothing, ultimately. But we can offer it. We have to offer it to the mercy of God. This is something we do willfully. Give the year that was to God, to God's mercy. Think of the great things that happened in the past year, the wonders, the joys. Also think of the challenges as well. Sometimes challenges in life can be mercies too that God gives to us. And when we think of them, offer them to the mercy of God. So we think of the year ahead, 2020, we know that this new year belongs to God's providence. We know some of the things that will happen in this year, but most of the things that happen, we don't know. There's a fair amount of uncertainty in the year ahead. I have a priest friend who says that every year he offers a prayer to God, and he says, God, I pray that this year will be a boring year. No great surprises, unexpected things to happen. And he says, every year, God chooses not to answer that prayer. It's just how life goes. It's not going to be boring, we can say this, of 2020. But we know that it belongs to God's providence. We trust that God will measure out the future day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, in increments and morsels that we can accept. We can't accept it all at once. That's not the business of today, January 1. But to take the portions that God measures out to us in faith and in trust. The future belongs to God's providence. Present belongs to God's love. We can't love God actively yesterday. We can't love God actively tomorrow. But we can love God now. It's the importance of presence, the present time, that only now is it possible for us to love God. What a great way to begin this new year, by loving God in the present, by committing the present to the love of God, offering our love to God for the gift of life. One of the ways we can do so is to be grateful to God for Mary's role in our lives, the fact that she's our patroness here at the cathedral, to give thanks to God that Mary keeps us too in her hearts, and to pray that one day the work of her Son will be complete in us.